Hebrews chapter 3. Praise God. Amen. They got these songs on their mind. I got this message on my mind all week. Amen. I'm going to preach it. All right. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 3. Amen. This feminist crowd today would probably name it Shebrews. But we're going to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. I believe I read this before Sunday school this morning. Going to read this morning in Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. When you find your place, stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, and may God have His way in everything it's said and done. And as you pray for us as we try to preach this morning. Hebrews 3, 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. In the day of the temptation in the wilderness, that provocation is that wandering around for 40 years, rebelling against God. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to them, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. But verse 9, chapter 4 said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. You can be seated as we pray this morning. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding. May the hand of God be on us, direct our thoughts. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. May the Spirit of God direct the message to the hearts and lives of individuals that need it. Lord, in the direction that they need, in the place that they need it. Lord, I pray today when the invitation's given, may there be a response, Lord, to the hearing and the heeding of the Word of God. And we'll give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. I pray this morning that we'll have a message from the throne of God. Some of you come to hear a sermon, and I hope you get a message instead. Amen. Some go to church, say you want to hear the sermon and get out. There's a difference between a sermon and a message. Message is when you get something from heaven. Everybody hears sermons. Amen. They go to church and they say, what did the preacher preach on? That's tomorrow. Now you can't figure it out. I can't remember what he preached on yesterday. Amen. But you go home with a message and you know God spoke and you remember what the man of God said. Amen. That's the difference. All right. I believe today we ought to be like old Nehemiah, troubled and in a turmoil for a nation that's in sin, that's turned their back on God, thrown away the Word of God, walked away from the truth of God. I believe we're here today, don't you? Amen. I believe God's people ought to get real with this thing. Nehemiah got under burden, troubled, and for days couldn't sleep and eat and got something done. And you look at those things, amen. But I want you to know, as we stand before God, we are going to give account for every deed done in our body, whether it be good or bad. God said this crowd in the book of Hebrews here, He said over there in the wilderness, they provoked Him and they walked away from Him and they paid the ultimate price. We don't hear God. We're in a country today that don't hear God. Amen. We don't hear God. We have a holy God to serve. Amen. We got a holy book to read. And brother, we got a Holy Spirit to follow. We ought to be holy in our lives and try to be what God wants us to be. I remember a few years ago, it's been quite a some time I guess now, and I can't remember, been probably 30 years or more, and I went to this house one of the men of the church went with me, and we were knocking on doors, and I can't remember one or two men, I can't remember who it was that went with me. But we went to this man's house, and I can picture the house right where it is, and it's kind of off itself a little bit. Knocked on the door, walked up there, and I said, I'm the pastor of the church that I was pastoring at that time. And I said, we come down here to witness to you and give you a gospel tract and tell you about Jesus. And I talked to him a little bit, and I said something like this to him. You know, you need the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He told me it's lost and undone without God. And then I said, don't you want to do something about that? Here's what the man said. Never will forget it. He looked at me and he said, preacher, he said, look at my new truck. He said, I've got myself a brand new truck, just retired, bought myself a new truck. Look at my nice home. He said, I've got a nice home God's let me have. He said, what more do I need? I said, you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. And he said, no. And I left that place in about 3 or 4 days, less than a week's time. One of the man that went with me, called me up and he said, preacher. I said, yes. He said, that man that we visited on Saturday over yonder, you remember him? I said, yeah. He said, the one that said, look at my new truck and look at my nice home. What more do I need? I said, yes. He said, he fell over in his yard a while ago with a heart attack and went out into eternity without God. Brother, I want you to know this morning, you can provoke God if you want to, but we're living in an hour and a day that you better pay attention to what God has to say. God is speaking from His book. He's speaking to you, and God wants you to get right with God. Amen. If there's anybody in this building that's not saved, you may think you're saved. You may hope you're saved. You may wish you're saved. But if you're not born again in by the Spirit of God, you need to listen to God right now. Let me give you some things I want you to know. You can look at these things. I want to give you some reason why you need to get right now. This is not new stuff, brother. This is the old, old book. Brother, it teaches us all this in the Word of God. Number one, I'll tell you why you need to make sure you're getting right and ready to meet God today is because simply this Bible tells you that you need to prepare to meet thy God. This Bible says ye must be born again. This Bible says that you have to pass from death unto life, and the only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord today. Brother, the Bible teaches us, and I look at the things in the Word of God and give you things page after page is telling me that you need to be saved. Another reason you need to be saved right now, not next week, not next month. This man told me, he said, hey, look, what more do I need? He didn't know that in less than a week, in just a few days, just a few hours from time I walked off his property. I had nothing to do with it. Brother, God took him out into eternity. Brother, you can point your finger in the face of God and say, I don't have time. I don't want the Lord today. I've got plenty of time, and down the road I'll get right with God. But I'll tell you, you don't know, amen, how much time you've got left. Brother, the Spirit of God is walking to and fro, up and down in this earth, and He's knocking on hearts' doors and trying to tell you that you need to be born again. And as long as the Spirit of God's speaking, you need to listen to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Call upon Him while you can. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother, the Holy Spirit is still here. He's going to be called out one of these days. Brother, we'll look into these things and we'll know that one of these days He's going to call us out of here. Amen. Brother, there's a danger this morning of something else. Well, the longer you say no to God and the more you go away and not let God have your heart, brother, the harder your heart becomes. When Moses went up to old Pharaoh and said, let my people go, Pharaoh turned away from him and said, no, sir, not going to let him go. And the Bible talked about his heart being hardened. I want you to know, when you say no to God the first time, it'll be easier to say it the second time and the third time and the fourth time. And finally, one of these days, you'll get to the place that you won't even care anymore. I know a woman, and brother, her life wasn't right, as she was a pastor's wife. And I remember this with all my heart. And it happened to be my pastor. My pastor had a wife that was not saved. He brought her to church. Matter of fact, he'd married unequally yoked. And so he paid the price for it. He was pastoring a church. He said, my wife's not even saved. She could sit in some of the strongest services under the power of God and not even pay a bit of attention. You know why? She had walked away from God so many times and said no to God so many times, and her heart become hardened. And as far as I know, she died without God and went to hell because her heart become hardened. It's a danger for you to keep putting it off and procrastinating. Amen. Not only that this morning, but I'll tell you another reason you need to make sure you're getting ready and getting out of here is because the rapture of the church is soon to take place. Jesus is soon to come. And brother, after that, you said, well, I'll get saved when all these saints get out of here. No, no. Anybody in this building's already passed over that duty. I want you to know this. I've already preached to you the gospel. I've already told you Jesus died for you. I told you Jesus rose from the dead for you. I told you that Jesus ascended into heaven for you. I told you that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And brother, salvation's been paid for. You've already heard the gospel truth. You've already trampled the blood of Jesus under your feet. And brother, God said when the Holy Spirit comes and taken out of here, takes the saints of God out of here, and when He leaves, brother, what God will do is bring strong delusion upon those that have heard the gospel, and they'll believe a lie and be damned. Yes, sir, you've already heard the gospel. If Jesus come today, you'll be left behind and you wouldn't get saved. Amen. I'll give you another reason. Amen. One of these days, brother, you're going to get caught out of here. Life is so uncertain. Amen. Did you know you don't know how long you're going to live? Can you guarantee me you're going to see the sun set this afternoon? Can you guarantee me you'll see the sun rise in the morning? Are you going to guarantee me that you've got another day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 years, 40 years? Can you guarantee me you got many more days? You can't. Brother, life is so uncertain and death is so sure. The Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Yes, sir, you have an uncertain time. Brother, you better get ready this morning. Amen. And then because the Bible talks about a judgment, you better be ready to meet God. Brother, there's a judgment coming for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a judgment. Now the devil's walking up and down this earth. Brother, I'll tell you what he's trying to do. He's trying to doom and damn souls to a devil's hell. Amen. But the Holy Spirit this morning is trying to draw out a bride and save people and bring them into eternity. Brother, the devil can have an influence on you as a lost person and cause you to drop off into hell. But the devil also works on the saints of God. Brother, he tries to make you lose your influence, your character. He tries to get you to lose your victory. He tries to get you to lose your testimony. He's doing everything he can to stop you before you ever get sold out to God. And brother, we need to watch out for the devil. You know that? Turn with me in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 11. Turn right quickly to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. I want to give you some scriptures and show you something here in the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible said in chapter 6 verse 11 of Ephesians, put on the whole armor, not part of it. He didn't say just put on the helmet. He didn't say just put on the breastplate. Didn't say just put on the shoes. He said put on the whole armor of God. You look down through there, you'll find what that armor is. He said put on the whole armor of God. Now why does he want you to put on the whole armor of God? This is talking to the saint of God. He said that you may be able to what? Stand. That you may be able to stand what? Stand against what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Somebody said, what's the devil's wiles? Well, that's the snares that he's got laid out in front of you. That's the pits he's got dug and got camouflaged that you don't know. That's in front of you that you'll step on and he'll get a hold of you. That's the traps he's got set for you like a bird, like a fowler has for a bird. Brother, those are brother, that's the temptations he's got behind you to pursue you. And brother, what it means there, if you look at this, that wiles means he's in the ambush mode and he's trying to ambush you as you're traveling as a soldier in the royal army of the Son of God. He wants to take you as prisoner. He wants to make you a prisoner of war. He wants to torture you and torment you. Amen. That's what the devil wants to do to you as a child of God. That's what it means by his wiles. Brother, he seeks you out like some folks seek out prey. He sits like some of you do when you go hunting, watching for the prey. Then that little animal comes over the top of the hill you're watching for and puts it in the scope. The devil's got you scoped out. He's sitting in his den somewhere. He's sitting in his stand. He's watching every move you make, and he's going to take the right shot at you and try to take advantage of you. Brother, I want you to know we need to be careful that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Against the wiles of the devil. Amen. You said, I'm exempt. I'm a tough old bird. I'm a saved, born again child of God, washed in the blood. The devil can't touch me and the devil can't bother me. Hey, wrong! Amen. He can do a lot of damage in your soul. He can get you the place that you don't even care where you can go to church. Or want to. He'll get the want-to out of you about reading your Bible. He'll get the want-to out of you about praying and seeking the face of God. He's already got the want-to out of most of you about trying to witness to somebody else. Well, some of you hadn't spoken to anybody else about the Christ that I know and love. You hadn't spoke to anybody about the Lord Jesus in months and days. And brother, I'll tell you, you ought to get on your knees before God and ask God to forgive you if you have not been a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the past 24 hours. Amen. You said, I ain't spoken to nobody in 6 months. You're 6 months behind. You need to be the first one in the altar. God forgive me that I'll be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wherever you at, you ought to turn everything in the favor of the Lord Jesus. Give you another scripture. Well, let me just give you something. Here's two. I'll give you an example right quick. You remember Joseph in the Bible? Joseph was put up over in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was in charge. He was in Egypt. He'd been sold into slavery, Joseph had. And Potiphar, he was taking care of things. You remember one day the story goes, he came in and there's Potiphar's wife. Brother, nobody was there. And Potiphar's wife grabbed a hold of Joseph and said, lie with me. And he said, no. No, sir. Brother, he had every opportunity in the world to commit sin. I mean, it was his opportunity. Amen. Nobody was looking. Nobody was around. But Joseph said, no. And she grabbed him by the coat. And he just let her have the coat and left and got out of. That's what a Christian should do. That's what a Christian ought to do. That's what the Bible teaches every man and woman to do. Somebody said it's talking about men there. Amen. Well, the same thing for women. Amen. We ought to shun the very appearance of evil. He left. But let me go a little further in the Word of God. He had to pay the price because he forsook that and didn't get involved in it. They went ahead and put him in prison and because she made a false accusation. Amen. And then you wonder why I don't trust church members. Amen. They'll lie on you. Amen. Guess what? Old David one day looked out over the side of the balcony. He looked down. He said, what is that I see? Brother, he got to looking. It was a woman taking a bath. And she ought not have been out in public doing that. Say, amen. She was wrong. But he ought not have been looking the second time either. Amen. I don't know what went through the mind of David, but I can imagine. And he sent after and laid with her and committed adultery with her. Hey, now here's two men. Both of these are men that know God. Here's two so-called Christian men. One fell and the other done the right thing. Listen, God teaches us in the Word of God that we make the right choices. Amen. Now it gets quiet when you get on a subject like this. Amen. That messes up those folks in the church that got affairs. I'm not talking about business affairs. Amen. I'm talking about those who are not holy and don't pay attention to their marriage contract. That's a subject we won't get on too much. I don't feel like being crucified today. Amen. But it's a subject that needs to be preached. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 6. Or 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. I've got that scripture in front of me, but I'll wait till you get there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26. Amen. The Bible said, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Did I tell you a while ago the devil had a snare? Sure he does. Now he is looking at you. When you ain't looking at him, he already knows your habits more than you know. He knows your faults better than you know your faults. You've tried to cover your faults, but he's found them out. The Bible said, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. not your will. You've been taken captive by Him at His will. Now He's took over your life. I want you to look at that word recover. That word recover simply means this, that you awaken yourself, that you wake up out of a sleep, out of a coma, and that you get to the place that you come out of those snares and break loose. How can you do that? Through the Word of God. The devil has lured you to the side. He's lured me to the side. And he's got us at the place where he wants us. The Bible said, walk circumspectly. The Bible tells us to awake, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need this morning to get up and recover ourselves. We've been caught in the snare of the devil, and it's time we got out of that snare. Amen. People do it with all kinds of things. I got to talking about this the other day, and I've been thinking about it all week. It's one of them things that I've been thinking about all week. And like y'all singing songs all week, I preach sermons all week. That's just what I do. Amen. If I could just preach some of these sermons at this church like I preach them sometimes in the middle of the night, or preach them to my wife, Lord have mercy. We'd all crawl under the pews. Because I preached myself under conviction many nights. Hear me? But listen, I've got to talking about this. You know how some of us get to the place. You remember me telling you about the other day about these titles? I remember as a young boy, young man, started out preaching. Some of the old preachers, they meant well. They got me off to the side and they said, preacher, what you need to do is go get you an education and get you a Bible college and get involved in the Bible college and go get your doctorate degree because it will help you down the road preaching. And they said, if you'll do that, it'll sure help you out. Now, I don't know where this figured I was so ignorant, I didn't know what I was talking about, or where they really believe what they said. And I guess back under thinking about it, I pulled out some of the sermons I used to preach, and I looked at that and I said to myself, yeah, they was right. I believe I should have went and got some education. Amen. And then I sat back not long ago and listened to another, and I said, yeah, I still believe they're right. I still need to go get me some education. Amen. Of all the preachers I listen to, I'm one of the ones I don't like to listen to. I understand a few of you today which you don't want to hear me either. I understand that. I preach them one time, and I don't want to preach them again. I don't even want to hear them again. You hear me? I just look at it that way, you know, just see it. And I was just a little boy, didn't know much about it. So I tried to study. And somebody told me the other day, I read a lot. I'm not bragging, I read a lot. Somebody said, I wish I loved to read like you do. I'm going to tell you something that may curl your hair, what you got of it. I don't like to read. Somebody said, I wish I liked to read like you do. I don't like to read. You know why I read? Because I want to learn. And I found out if I don't read, I don't learn. Amen. A reader is a leader. Now you folks that don't read nothing, you don't lead nothing either. You said, preacher, I didn't want to hear that. You heard it anyhow. I'll repeat it. Somebody that don't read, don't lead. I hear preachers and they talk about, I don't read, I don't like to read. You don't like to lead either. You don't, listen, I'll guarantee you this, and I'll just give it to you. If today you decide you want to be a mechanic, you start reading all the books you can on mechanicking. Amen. If you want to be a plumber, you start reading all you can on plumbers and trying to learn from other plumbers. Amen. I've had a few plumbers, I don't believe they learned nothing from any other plumber. Don't believe they read anything from another plumber. Amen. You want to be a carpenter, read after somebody that's been a carpenter. So I don't read those kind of things, but you can learn that way. But what I do is I read the Word of God, and it helps me. Amen. That's what we do, isn't it? Amen. It's not because I love to read. It's just because I want to learn. Now, you don't like to read. Don't give me that excuse. I don't like to read. You don't like to learn either. How many of you went to school and never read a book? How many of you learned about history and never opened a history book? And you said, I didn't open it much. You don't know much either. Now you said, preacher, I don't know much about the Bible. You know why you don't know much? You ain't read the Bible like you ought to read the Bible. Before I get shot, I'll just go on. But they said, preacher, you need to go get you an education. And if you can get that doctorate degree, it'll sure help you. And so I tried to get a little bit of education, got a few things and had a few titles and so forth. And then people come along and they'll call you a doctor. Well, I ain't a doctor. I ain't even a good nurse. Ask my wife. Amen. I'm not a good cook. I'm not a good anything. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And they said, and I know some preachers right now, and they talked to me and they said, I got my doctorate. And they expect them to be called doctor. And they call, and I aggravate them sometimes and I say, hey doc, how you doing? I know some right now gets upset if you don't call them doctor. They went to school, they learned that. Well, I'm going to tell you, don't call me that. Somebody said, what do you want to be called? Call me preacher, pastor, or brother Dennis. I get tired of going to churches and they'll come up to the preacher and a little old kid about that tall come up. Joe, that's their pastor they're talking to. Why did my daddy's name was Louis? But I don't know as I've ever called my daddy Louis to his face. Somebody said, what's your daddy? I say, Louis Owen Dills. But every time I addressed him, I said, Daddy. Or Dad. Amen. I can't stand to hear kids call their mama Liza, Sally, Sue. I can't stand to hear kids call their daddy John, Joe, Tommy. And I don't like to hear people call their preacher by their first name. That's disrespectful. I don't know why I'm on this subject. But I'm going to stay here a minute. Amen. But I'm going to give you some reasons why I don't like the titles. Everybody in this building ought to be called brother or sister. You said they some of them ain't brothers or sisters. They don't act like it. I got some brothers and sisters. Don't act like they're my brothers and sisters. But they still my brothers and sisters. Sometimes I've wanted them to change. Or I wanted myself to change so I can be identified with them. But that wouldn't make any change, really. Still there. Amen. Are you with me? I'm going to give you some Bible why I don't like the titles. I've seen some of these fellows, you call them doctors, and the next thing you know is, they're the doctor. They're raised up in pride. I know some right now, if you didn't call them doctor, they'd be upset. You hear me? Jot these scriptures down. I'm going to read you Bible why I don't do it. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be called. And if they want to be, that's their business. But I'm going to tell you, here's one little old country boy that was scared of his shadow when he started preaching. Here's one little old boy don't like the titles. And I'm going to tell you why I don't like them. Don't want them. Job chapter 32, verse 21. Jot them down. I'll read it to you. Job chapter 32 and verse 21. It's one of those folks talking to Job and trying to straighten him out. There's a fellow church member. Here's what they said. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. Is that plain or not plain? Dr. Deals. Is that not a flattering title? Amen. You said, that's just one little verse in the Bible. How many more you want? Look at John 5:44. John 5:44 said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. You're more excited about getting honor from somebody else than you are getting honor from glory. Now, if God calls you doctor, stand up and salute. Huh? That's just two verses, preacher. That's just the way you interpret them. I'm just a literal preacher. Matthew 23:8. The Bible said, but be not ye called rabbi. That's about like being called a doctor, isn't it? He said, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't call one another rabbi. Don't pull them out in a special place. What about the Apostle Paul? Did you hear what I said? What about the Apostle Paul? Did you hear what I said? What about the Apostle Paul? Now, if you heard preachers preach about that, you've heard me call him the Apostle Paul ages, after ages. Have you not? I got to looking that up. I could not find the apostle recorded in the Bible but two times. One time it said the apostle to the Gentiles. He didn't say the apostle Paul. He said the apostle to the Gentiles. And the second time it said the apostle of the high priest, of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Paul was never called in the New Testament the apostle. He was called Paul, an apostle. Paul, the apostle, to the Gentiles and so forth. Huh? Oh. It'll straighten you out and you get to look at these titles. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. He said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. If Jesus was willing to lose everything, hey, here's the King of glory on the earth. He stripped himself of all that he is, the Creator, and he took on the form of a servant. And brother, he humbled himself even to the death of Christ. Should not we humble ourselves and not lift ourselves above anybody? I am no better than you are. Nobody in this building is better than another. You may have had a better raising than I had. You may have had parents that had more money than you had. You may have parents that was able to supply everything that you wanted and you was raised that way. But I want to tell you, you're no different than I am. We are all the same in the grace and eyes of God this morning. Jude chapter 1 verse 16. The Bible said these are murmurers, complainers. These are the apostates. Walketh after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. That's what the world wants. They want the recognition of the flesh. Listen, I don't want you to recognize me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I want to tell you something. I want to close with this and say just a little bit if I can here. What are you, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what I am. I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace. Somebody said, after you're saved, you're not a sinner no more. You know, I wish that's so. I wish that's so. My sins have been taken care of. The blood of Christ has washed away my sin. He saved me and redeemed me and washed me of my past sins. Washed me of my present sins and paid for my future sins and washed me of my future sins. You said, preacher, you ain't even seen them yet. But God knows about them. Now you lose that and you're going to lose a lot of the scriptures. Amen. Everybody think God saved you and cleansed you from all the sins in the past, but from here on out, you're on your own. Boy, I wouldn't have much to preach if that's it. I mean, after you got saved, if I couldn't preach it, there's still hope for you and your sins. that you commit. And you're going to have to pay for them down. Hey, when Christ died, He died for all the sins of all the world, of all the people. He died for yours. And somebody said, "Preacher, I just don't like these labels." I don't either. Anything don't have a label, I don't like it. Amen. Let me just show you what I'm talking about this morning. I get hungry, and I go over to the cabinet, and I get me, oh, what is that? How do you make your sandwich out of that? Would you make a sandwich out of that? Would you want to open that up and eat it right now? Would you? I see some, you know, what's that look like? Huh? Yeah. One said it's cat food. One said it's tuna. Well, it'd be pretty good. It'd be pretty good if a cat liked both of it. You a cat? Amen. It wouldn't hurt if it's cat food for you to eat it either. Don't guess, because it don't kill cats. And they some people more concerned about their cat than they are their kids. That's another sermon. We'll get off that. Why wouldn't you like that? Why don't you know what it is? It don't have what? Y'all got that, didn't you? Don't have a label. I'm scared of anything ain't got a label. Amen. I started to say you wouldn't even know the date on it, but whoa, right there. It said it's still good. Mama said it's good for 4/21/14. I got it out of my cabinet. Amen. Well, I go around and I talk to somebody. I said, "Hey, I got a headache," and they said, "Here, take these." Now, just say it's full of pills, but you, would you take them if I said any? Huh? Why? Why won't you take them? Ain't no label on it? Let me see. You're right. Don't have no label. Don't have no directions, does it? I don't know what it's good for. I don't even know where the doctor ordered that or not. Don't like anything. Ain't got a label. Amen. And now they're saying today, don't put the label on your church. They'll take Baptist off and just put church. I'm scared of anything got a label. Somebody said, "What are you? I'm a sinner saved by grace." Well, I thought you was a Baptist. I am. That's my choice. What kind of Baptist are you? You're Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, and I usually look at them and say, "I'm a Dependent Baptist." When you say Baptist, that automatically fixes it up this morning that you know basically what they believe. You say, "Well, I'm a non-denominal." Well, you don't know what they believe. Some non-denominals believe this and some believe, well, we got some Baptists believe this and some Baptists believe that. That's right. But basically, we know what they are in the ballpark. We tell somebody we are Southern Baptist, we know what we believe. We tell somebody we are an Independent Baptist, we know what we believe. Basically. We always have some of these weirdos that can't figure it out. They'll change as the wind changes. One preacher preached something and they'll believe it. Another preacher preached something opposite and they'll believe that. But I don't like anything. I'm scared of anything don't have a label. That's why I say today we label it. That's why we got a church sign out there that says Bible Way Baptist Church. And up on top of it, we got out there, I don't know, it might be under it, but it says Independent, Premillennial, KJV. Well, we don't have to have all them labels. Yeah, we do. They know what we believe. They're not coming in here to hear. They know basically what. They know what kind of Bible we preach out of. They know what kind of belief we have about the second coming of Christ. And they know what kind of Baptists we are. I met all kinds of Baptists, lying Baptists, cussing Baptists. Amen. But I'm glad the Baptist got. I'm glad the Lord got me before the Baptist did. I'm not proud of the Baptists. Won't ever crack and turn of their life. A lot of Baptists I don't agree with. But I want, what I mean is, I believe in salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And after we're born again, then following the Lord in baptism, I believe that. And that's what we, and that means immersing them, bringing them up out of the water. So I like the label. What kind of Baptist are you? Amen. Or what kind of label do you have? You ask them, I say, where do you go to church? Well, we go down to the community church. Well, when I say, what's the community church believe? And you'd ask that, and they say, we believe this and believe that. And then you ask another, and they don't know what they believe. They've got, if they got different, listen, I want a label on me. That's why I like the first one, saved by the grace of God. Sinner saved by grace. That's the best label you can have. But I believe we ought to identify with some kind of doctrine and belief in the Word of God, don't you? Amen. So next time you look at that, that's what you want a label for, to see what's in it. Second, you want to see if it's outdated. Amen. Amen. Mama. I'm glad I'm saved. Let's stand. Bow your head. You'd better make sure you're ready to meet God. Don't be like the fella that just said, look at my house, look at my truck. There's a fella, while they begin to get the song out, I was pastoring a church and had a trailer park behind it. Just right, you step off the property at the church into the trailer park. And what we did, we had big loudspeakers stuck up on the side of the church. That's back a few years ago, you'd get by with it a little. The PA system operated those loudspeakers, so during the song service, in the worship part, we turned on the loudspeakers on the inside, regular speakers, and used it in the system. When preaching time come, I had a little switch under the pulpit, and I'd reach over and flip the switch. When I flipped the switch, it turned it off inside and put it out to the outside. And I'd preach, and it's pointed back to that trailer park, and it bounced off that metal on them trailers. A little old girl come to me one day, and she said, preacher, she said, my daddy won't go to church. He stays drunk all the time. And said, he'll drink on Sunday morning. And said, he sits there, but said, when you preach, he takes that beer and sets it down beside his chair. And he listens to you while you preach. I said, well, thank God, it's working. But this fella come walking over one day. He was right next to the church, and he come over and he said, preacher, he said, I'm a truck driver, and I have to sleep on Sunday. And he said, you've been preaching and waking me up on Sunday. He stood on the porch there in my house, and he said, if you preach on that loudspeaker tomorrow, I'm going to swear out a warrant for you and have you put in jail. I said, go ahead and call them. Get it ready. Because I'm going to preach on them tomorrow. And I preached. Nobody knocked on my door. Nobody came. And went week after week, about 6-7 weeks went by. And I go to the grocery store. Lo and behold, here comes this fella staggering in on a cane. He was a truck driver driving every day. And he walked up to me. And I said, oh no, I've been preaching every Sunday. He's going to tell me what he thinks. And he said, preacher, he said, I told you I was going to have you locked up if you preached on them loudspeakers anymore. I said, yes sir, you did. He said, well, you kept preaching. I said, yeah. He said, I didn't have you locked up. I said, no. He said, the very next week after I told you that, I had a heart attack and I almost died. And he said, preacher, I appreciate you. Just keep preaching. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got our own ideas, but God knows best. What's the song? 354 in the Blue Book. Maybe you need to come to the altar this morning.